everybody. I'm Stephanie Beaumont, and this is CNB Seen and Heard, rolling through our eighth season of celebrating the four Atlantic provinces here on Cove FM, where with each broadcast, I want to bring you just a little bit closer to some of the amazing personalities that make up this corner of the planet. They may be native to Nova Scotia or New Brunswick, Prince Edward Island or Newfoundland and Labrador, or they may be kindred spirits who simply adore living and working in Atlantic Canada. The only requirement here is that you're willing to raise the fun flag and wave it in salute of Canada's awesome East Coast. And our chats will be just that. Very conversational, not entirely sensible, and with any luck, totally enjoyable. Now, if you're a regular listener to this show, you know how much I love movies. So you've got to know when they're filmed right here in the homeland, well, that's the absolute finest kind. And how wonderful it's been to watch the phenomenal response from movie fans across the country to Little Lorraine. Filmed on Cape Breton Island, the gripping crime drama brings to life the lore of a tiny seaside town turned dark by an international drug smuggling ring. Run across the sea on lobster boats and on land and of all things, coffins. How apropos. And oh, have mercy, how marvelous this movie is. In fact, it marks the debut feature for my guest today, who after directing music videos for countless artists, from Alicia Keys to Keith Urban to Coldplay to Classified, had another music track come at him that would change everything. A song from a fellow Nova Scotian named Adam Baldwin. Well, that song sparked something in my guest's storytelling spirit from which an entire film unfolded. So we'll talk about that moment and so much more, including how it felt to make his first movie back home in the province and how that legendary Cape Breton hospitality showed up for him on screen and off. We'll also hear how he skillfully wove music into the project and discover the importance he places on dreams. We'll even get the scoop on his sophomore feature that'll have him calling action back here on the East Coast. Plus, we'll get to First Things First, play an enlightening round of Insights in 10, and even spin some of his favorite soundtrack tunes throughout the hour. So with all that ahead, we'd best get to it. Here's my Zoom call conversation with the one and only Andy Hines. Ladies and gentlemen, they say all good things come to those who wait. I have been watching this man be celebrated from coast to coast and all points in between. Here on the East Coast of Canada, he is all the rage, I don't mind saying, but he's been at this gig for quite a while and I can't wait to chat with him. Andy Hines, look at you, how handsome on the West Coast.
Imagine. Hey!
You're living right, are you?
Say, what an intro. I mean, what an intro.
Well, it's true. I've been watching you and I've been biding my time because you have certainly been out and about and I've loved living vicariously through the cast and the crew and all of the stories you've been putting on Instagram. We're going to get to the celebration behind Little Lorraine and so much more. But Andy Hines, I have to start this call the way I do all my phone calls, and that's with First Things First. These are just four icebreaker questions. If you're ready, we will begin. Andy Hines, your first teacher.
My first teacher?
Yes, sir.
Oh, gosh. I wonder if more so my first teacher that really changed my life.
Sure. You're breaking the rules already. I like that about you.
You're going to find that... that will be the first of many occasions over the next 20
minutes. Good times.
It was Lisa Chance, my grade 12 math teacher at Windsor Regional High School, which is now a parking lot.
Aw.
She was the one.
What, a math teacher now? You'll have to make that make sense for me. Square that.
Well, she was my like calculus, pre-calculus, calculus teacher in grade 12. And I was not doing what I should. Like, I just was... I would say that in some ways I'm just not an academic, and in other ways I absolutely am.
Yes.
I'm on a quest for knowledge.
Right. But not in calculus. Not
the traditional path.
Right.
And I needed that class to finish high school. And so we committed to each other to coming to school earlier than school, like at 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
And she would tutor me on the work for that week. And that was the first time I had a teacher that really, you know, was willing to like alter her life, you know, their life to positively affect mine. And I think of her often. She actually just reached out to me. I hadn't spoken to her in years. And she reached out to me when the movie came out in theaters and said that she had seen it. But yeah, it was her, Lisa Chance.
That's so great. All right. Well, very good. We salute you, Lisa. You're out there somewhere. Now, Andy Hines, our second question in First Things First, your first job.
My first job. My first real job was working the graveyard shift on a sheep farm down the valley in Nova Scotia.
That must have been something.
It was. Yeah, I wanted to be a vet. So I was big into ag and just in general trying to get my time in. And then I ended up passing out in the operating theater at my local vets in Windsor where I was volunteering. And she woke me up with Epsom salts and just said, I just don't think this is the right career for you, to which I agreed. Yeah, I worked on the sheep farm when I was in first year university. I didn't have a job in high school. I needed to spend 100% of my time on
getting by.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, sheep farm.
There you go. You're my very first sheep farmer. I love it.
7 p.m. to 9 a.m. were my hours.
The graveyard. Okay.
Yeah.
Andy Hines, our third question, your first car.
My first car was a Honda Ridgeline when I moved to L.A. I never owned a car. I just used my dad's truck or my mom's car growing up. It was a used Honda Ridgeline that I bought when I moved to Los Angeles to go to the American Film Institute for school because you can't walk anywhere in L.A.
No, that's right.
Yeah, so I needed to get a car when I moved to L.A. And that was it. And I had that for years. I actually only got rid of that. I'd still have that car. I got rid of that car when we had our first child. I couldn't put the backwards facing car seat in the back seat. It was too tight. Had to go.
There you go. Safety first. Okay, Andy Hines, this is our very last question in First Things First. Your first date. Where'd you go? What'd you do? What's their name, if you don't mind saying?
My first date was to Mexicali Roses in Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Wow.
Yeah, that was the sort of Tex-Mex restaurant on Spring Garden Road. Yeah.
Was it romantic?
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Yeah, it was. I want to say I was in like grade 8.
And we'll leave the names out, will we? Save that for the book?
That's fair.
Okay. Andy Hines, let's get to it now because in one of your Instagram posts, you said, don't be the last person in Nova Scotia to see this movie. And I might be because thank goodness for Winnie. She sent me the link last night and I watched it this morning. And I want to tell you something. The hype is real, everybody. The hype is real. It's so good. And I don't know where to start, but I think I might want to start with Andy Hines, who maybe had a difficult time getting through school. But when you got the chance to put all those dreams, those cinematic dreams to work, you did, like you had that movie in your brain since you were little, right, Andy Hines?
Well, I was just going to say, you lucky duck. I can't believe you got a link to the movie.
Winnie, she's a hard ticket. Well, I promise I cherished it. But listen, Andy, the cinematography, the angles, the shots, all of it. There's so much storytelling in that element of it, right? Anybody could take a script, which you wrote, but to have those visions and to have those shots, was it everything you dreamed of, Andy Hines?
It's a version of what I dreamed of, and I think that with filmmaking, which I've done now for over a decade in a professional setting with clients and different, you know, work for hire, this kind of thing. You got to really sort of pick when you're trying to get your art in, right? Or when you're really just trying to get something made that is going to make a client happy because they hired you to make something.
Yes.
So with Little Lorraine, I had the opportunity to bring this dream to life, which I haven't had that long, it's been about 4 years total now.
Right. Yeah.
Because it came to me from Adam's song, The Lighthouse in Little Lorraine. But to answer part of your other question, I have been creative writing my whole life. It started with describing stories to my mother who she would then write it down. So, you know, storytelling has always been a part of my life. And with Little Lorraine, I really had an opportunity to take this love of mine of visual storytelling and to do something with it that I've been wanting to do for a long time.
Yeah, you can really see it. I mean, I'm exuberant. I feel like you and I, while kindred spirits in our love of all things film and storytelling, are on opposite ends of the enthusiasm spectrum. Like, you're probably really excited. Or maybe you're not. Maybe you're just barely getting through. But I get so excited. And there's a certain level of, I would imagine, composure when you're the quarterback of a production that has to get done. So the enthusiasm that you felt, I'm guessing, on day one, Andy Hines, how do you feel now, almost a year after its release, after all those long hours? Like, are you still in the pinch me moment zone of it?
Well,
is it like
been,
you're on to the next
thing? There's different phases of it, Stephanie.
Yeah.
There's the day one of production, right?
Yeah.
That's a special day.
How'd you feel then? Just when you're like, you know, scene one, shot one, et cetera, et cetera.
You know, the way it always feels for me is as though I'm getting doused in gasoline and then lit on fire and then just told to go do my job. So there's never enough time. There's never enough money. Like so many things in life, that you're really kind of just getting after. Like, you, the thing about it is that you just have to constantly maintain, like, focus on the core idea. But that first day of production, it was very exciting to be there. And then, you know, premiering at the Toronto International Film Festival, that's a lifelong dream of mine.
Yeah.
Which was
on
very,
your first film.
You know, very unexpected.
On your first film, Andy Hines.
Yeah, yeah, no, totally. I mean, that's that. I'll always hold on to that, to be honest.
Yeah.
I will always hold on to that. And then now sort of the third pinch me moment that I'm experiencing is how well the film is doing in Canada and starting in the Maritimes and out from there. I mean, I think we're approaching 13,000 tickets sold just from the Sydney, Cape Breton, Nova Scotia theater. That's one theater, you know?
Yeah.
That's a big pinch me moment for sure, because that means that people are going back to it multiple times. And, you know, I think that I can speak for all filmmakers that you dream to make a project that is worth rewatching.
Yeah.
Whether you're from the place where it was filmed or not, you know, I think that that's always a core dream. So I'm experiencing that now, and it's tremendous.
That's so great. Okay, my gosh, we're soon going to have to stop down for our first commercial break. I feel like it would be remiss were we not to kick our musical portion of the program off with Lighthouse and Little Lorraine. And you said, you know, you've only been at this for 3 years for all intents and purposes. I couldn't help but think, as much as I adore Greg Toomey, don't get me wrong, that Stephen McHattie was infinitely more frightening. Was Greg even just a smidge verklempt, having not been chosen as the villain in the film?
You know, it's hard to say because I haven't brought it up with him.
Okay.
But,
he's such a great
you know,
guy.
It was really sort of, he really did us a solid just to be in the music video.
It would appear to me, based on even, you know, we go all the way back to your video production and all of the various talents that you've had, that you have an incredible tapestry of pals, Andy Hines. Would that be fair?
That's fair.
Okay. So Greg Toomey got on board in that music video because he was a friend of yours or Adams or?
Friend of Adams.
Okay.
Yeah, friend of Adams. I had met Greg once or twice, but, like, you know, when Adams said, hey, look, I think Greg Toomey should play Uncle Huey in the music video, I said, I couldn't agree more. Can we get him?
Right.
To which I think there was a mild negotiation. But I actually just found a string out that's like an hour and 45 minutes long of a bunch of scenes from the music video. Because I recorded audio in all of it, so it's...
Well, I wonder. It's, like, it's funny, because, you know, I saw people talking at the bar.
Yes,
in the opening
and
shot.
So I have all of that. And
gosh.
I'm thinking about leaking a couple moments from the music video that are actually feel more like scenes from a film, because you have the audio, they're talking, the story is being evolved in the, you know, like...
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, so, but I bring it up because Greg's just, I mean, he's great. When he walks into the pub and goes over to Adam and the boys at the bar and they're down and out and he's there saying, oh, I wouldn't worry about that, you know.
I got
something
can't wait
on
to
the
hear
horizon.
That.
And he's just so greasy about it. It's great.
So we're going to play this song, but can you remember the first moment you heard this song?
Yeah, viscerally.
Okay, tell me that and then we're going to break.
Yeah, I mean, I was at home here in my wife's hometown here in Northern California, And Adam's manager sent me the song. And I think that he sent it to me with the pretense or hoping that I would want to make a music video for it. And I said this to someone the other day. I think I was just lucky enough that I was the first filmmaker to receive the song, because anyone would have had the same reaction to me, which is that you see the whole movie or you see a version of a movie when you listen to the song. Everybody does. That's Adam's talent. And so then I didn't even call his manager. I called him and I said, look, I got this song and we got to make a music video, but I want to make it into a movie. And he said, who's this? No, I'm just joking. He said, well, geez, Andy, maybe we should just start with a music video. Because I think that he just thought I was fibbing from that moment on. And then, yeah, so I was here at my house and I heard it and I said, this is the movie I've been looking for to, you know, I want to be doing Eastern, so I want to be doing maritime stories and Nova Scotia stories, and this was the way.
So cool. All right, well, let's give a listen right now to Mr. Adam Baldwin with this extraordinary song. We've got more in this hour of CNBC Seen and Heard with Mr. Andy Hines, the co-writer and director of the fantastic Little Lorraine. And we'll be right back with more CNBC Seen and Heard here on Cove FM.
I got an Uncle Huey. He's got a boat down in Manitou. And when I lost my job at Divco, he says, have I got a job for you? See, I put my faith into no one. I got no time for the government. Since they ripped up my house in Lewisburg and stuck it down on some blocks of cement. He says there's a boat coming up from America, caskets filled with cocaine. There's a gold mine out on the ocean and a lighthouse in Little Lorraine. There's a lighthouse in Little Lorraine. He took his boat off the coast of Batesden, just out of sight of the shore. Me and my cousin and a Frenchman I never laid eyes on before. We met a boat that had come up from Boston. It started heaving boxes overboard. Huey handed them a big bag of money. We were back in the harbor round four, singing there's a boat coming up from America with caskets filled with cocaine. There's a gold mine out on the ocean and a lighthouse in Little Lorraine. There's a lighthouse in Little Lorraine. We'd be met there by seven morticians, loaded the boxes into their hearse. We'd set off with $8,000, laughing about what we'd spend it on first. Frenchman tells me his name is Thibault, that he grew up in Elmerdam. We could all go down to church hall on Saturday and get drunker than hell at the dance. One night Thibault got fired up on moonshine, tried to beat up a Catholic priest. We got thrown out on our ass behind that church hall. We spent the night with the mounted police. We went on working for weeks every Sunday, till Huey says we gotta slow it down. Someone's been singing like a jailbird, and it brought all the Mounties to town. They heard there's a boat coming up from America, heard about the caskets filled with cocaine. There's a gold mine out on the ocean and a lighthouse in Little Lorraine. There's a lighthouse in Little Thank you. calls us all down to the docks one night, and he hustled us out to the sea. He shut off the engines and the floodlights, and he pointed a shotgun at me. I said, Huey, I ain't the one been singing. Must be the Frenchman from Il Madame. He says that's just what a turncoat would tell me. Least he can do is to die like a man. Funny they could not be bothered with a casket, but what use is it now to complain? There's a graveyard out on the ocean and a lighthouse in Little Lorraine. And as the buckshot, it entered my brain. I saw the lighthouse in Little Lorraine. There's a lighthouse in Little Lorraine.
With their epic track, Straight to Hell, a song you'll hear covered by Cape Breton's own Goldie Bootleer when it rolls over the end credits of The Extraordinary Little Lorraine. I'm super stoked about this movie, and I'm even more thrilled to be talking to its co-writer and director, the much-celebrated Mr. Andy Hines. He's on the West Coast now, but tell me what it was like to come back to the East Coast and film this movie in Cape Breton, Andy Hines.
Well, spiritually, I've never left the East Coast, so
okay.
I remain.
But it's a different vibe. I talk about this all the time. I used to work on Vancouver Island. It's different, right? Without question.
Yeah. Well, I mean, energetically, it's different. Geographically, mm-hmm. I think energetically, it's very different.
Yeah, vibe-wise, for sure. Well, geographically. Andy, are you making fun of my poor grades in geography?
No, I'm actually just saying, like, the energy is actually, you know, what's different here. I mean, the air, the rock under your feet, everything is so drastically different from coast to coast. And I think that the energy that you feel on the East Coast is actually originating in the people.
Yeah.
Oh, that's as opposed good. To the West Coast, I feel like it's originating in the geography and in the environment.
Wow, that's good.
Because it's like spiritually so captivating on the West Coast of North America.
Yeah.
But it's the people on the East Coast of Canada. I'm not even including the United States in this particular comment, but the people on the East Coast of Canada, they are the vibe.
Yeah.
Obviously, the food, the locations, there's everything, everywhere you look is a postcard, but like, it's the people, right? That's what I miss most about home.
Andy, I'm certain in the world of, you know, the hundreds of thousands of movies that have been made over the years, there has been a list of the extras in a film, but I don't recall. And I'm one of those people that stays to the very end of most films. That's just the way I was wired, because I love watching a movie on the big screen. But I adored the fact that you put every single extra, because I have to imagine it was a huge deal for all the people that were a part of this production.
Yeah, I mean, it was a huge deal for us that those people showed up, you know, like that's a big part of this film is, you know, this is an indie film, no matter what anyone would think. This is a small film. This is an independent, studio free operation here. You know, Telefilm helped us in the post-production of the film, but you're looking at a truly indie project, right? And so an indie film, you don't get to write a scene in a funeral in a church where every seat in the pew, every pew is taken and it's standing room only.
Yeah.
Any indie film producer is going to say, look, I love that scene, but there's just no way we can fill the seats. Well, in Cape Breton, Nova Scotia, you can. And a big part of that was that I knew all along when I was writing it that music was going to be a huge part of this film, not only because of my background as a music video director and my love for music, but because music is such a huge part of the tapestry of that part of Nova Scotia, that island.
Yeah.
And we asked for 50 extras to get in that church, and over 250 people showed up. And a big part of that was because we were able to collaborate with the Men of the Deeps to have them sing at the funeral, at the miner's funeral in the film, which is a historic moment. And I think that it will go down in history, that scene, culturally, not because it was so directed in a certain way or written in a certain way, actually just culturally, it's a moment. And the island really showed up for that. And we had standing room only. And so you end up with a scene that looks like it's out of a big budget film, because that's the only way you could pay to have every one of those seats filled, right?
Right.
But more people than we could feed or shade and anything came, you know, to that. So we owe so much to the island and to the Cape Bretoners who supported this production. And I'll go to my grave thanking them, because it changed the entire look of the film, right?
It was amazing. And I mean, for anyone who's had the opportunity to hear Men of the Deeps perform live, it's extraordinary in and of itself. But to have them as part of your production, I can only imagine what that would have been like. But you're right in that the island of Cape Breton, they come out on many occasions. And music is a huge part of the culture out here. And it really wove itself fantastically into your film. And the fact that you are another one of your hats, a music supervisor on this film, I would imagine when you were writing this story, you had those songs in mind, Andy?
Like, we just heard The Clash with their song, and I mentioned Goldie Bootleer's cover of it for the soundtrack, but like, did you have all those tunes playing in your head when you wrote Little Array?
I wrote with that all in mind. That was all, that's part of my process, is that as I write, I'm writing the entire picture. So for me, the entire picture includes the music that would be playing. And I knew that including The Clash and that song specifically, Straight to Hell, it was the tallest ask of the entire film, really. And it came right down to the 11th hour to have the remaining members of The Clash sign off on Goldie covering their song, which ended with me you know, it was weeks and weeks of trying to reach the right people in their management and reach the people that needed to get to the band. And it ended up kind of on the last day that I had to get it signed off on, me calling the management's office in London and pleading with the secretary who answered the phone to understand the situation.
Yeah.
And the gravity of the situation. And I wouldn't let her hang up, or I wouldn't let her put me on hold or anything until she connected me with the person that I needed to speak to. And I fully recognize and accept that that's part of my privilege as someone who is an asker.
you don't know unless you ask.
I'm not a guesser. I have no problem with hearing no. No is a perfectly acceptable answer, but I will always ask for what I need. And I needed that song in the movie, and I wasn't really willing to give that up.
Wow. Okay. So now I always, I shouldn't say I always do, but 9 times out of 10, this factors in organically into any interview. And even when I was watching the movie and watching your videos for all intents and purposes, and the sort of trajectory of your career, at least from the outside, I wonder, Andy Hines, do you believe in destiny?
You know, I think that that's sort of an age-old question to me, like the chicken before the egg. That's sort of a similar, is it faith or fate, you know?
Yeah.
I think that in many ways we all have, we're born with a purpose, but I think that some of us don't necessarily either have the structure or the support that you really need to get to what your purpose is. Sometimes even just to recognize it. Sometimes you have the opportunity to recognize our purpose, but still don't have the support or the steps that we need to, you know, it's hard to see those steps sometimes. I've always known that I had a purpose, but I didn't know what it was. I thought it was about helping animals, but I think it turned out actually that it was about storytelling and trying to affect people through storytelling and visual storytelling and this. But when I determined that, that really became this all-encompassing purpose. So I think that that was my fate.
You said before we got to the break, you know, I was lucky to get that song before anyone else did. Like the, yeah. Those kind of things that just like, you know, it's paths crossing, it's chance meetings, it's you did really great on this and that propelled you to this. Do you see it more as a mapping out, or do you see it like that was meant to happen, or a little bit of both?
I think that it's the intersection, right, of hard work and talent.
Yeah.
I think that's the expression.
Good luck is 99% hard work.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah.
I work really, really hard. And I think that sometimes that's seen, but also I work really, really hard on relationships. And I've known Adam for over 20 years, and I've fostered a really close relationship with him over that time.
Yeah.
Which has put me in a position for him to not only see me, but also for me to be seen as someone worth sending that song to.
Right.
So there is an intersection happening there that involves a few different elements. But I think no matter what, whatever your fate, I think it does take noticing. You have to like notice things along the way that eventually become your fate, right?
Right. Okay, listen, we're soon going to have to stop down for our very last commercial break. I do another little show on this station called Soundtrack. And we talked to you about your love of music and the fact that you really did factor that into how you were telling the story of Little Lorraine. But I wonder, Andy Hines, can you take yourself back to the first time you were sitting in a theater and you went, oh my God, that is the best soundtrack song ever. Your favorite one ever that you saw on the big screen where it was perfectly placed. Maybe it was written for the big screen, or it was a needle drop of gargantuan proportions. Is there one that stands out in your mind? And I will play it for you now, sir. And the world is your musical oyster here. So it could be score, it could be song, it could be anything you want.
I would say Party Man by Prince in the original Batman by Tim Burton.
Yeah.
When they spray paint and destroy the art gallery. That was a big one for me because I was like, man, that movie really affected me. I saw it too early as well. But yeah.
this song by special request for our very special guest. And we'll be back to wrap things up with Mr. Andy Hines after the break. But right now,
from Tim Burton's Batman, this is the one and only Prince with Party Man on Cove FM.
Black and white, red and green.
Scoop FM. That's Burlington's own The Spoons with Nova Hart. And I'm on the phone right now. I'm on a Zoom call, if you can believe it, with Andy Hines, who's a vision on the West Coast of North America. And here on the East Coast, you are celebrated. But honest to goodness, Andy Hines, your name is like a household, like everybody knows you now. Like, and I know you've been out there. Well, you're omnipresent. Hey, like you're on. Do you like the interviews, Andy? Like
this is easily a top two interview for me right now.
Stop it.
And I've done, I don't know.
I'm going to have to pay you later.
40 interviews right now on Little Lorraine.
Aww, that's so sweet. Well, you're doing all the social.
This has been the most fun and just hanging out kind of vibe of any of them. This has been great. Look forward to the next time, Andy.
Oh my gosh. I look forward to that too. And celebrating the films that you're going to make. Now, I will say watching Little Lorraine, And again, I know you're much littler than I am, but I remember the time that it switched from VHS tapes to DVDs. And my very favorite part of my wacky DVD collection are the extras, the DVD commentary.
Yes, me too.
And I wish so much, Andy Hines, that there was a DVD commentary that you had on Little Lorraine, because I would imagine stories.
Is it? Spoiler alert, it's coming.
Is that true? Oh my gosh.
We're printing a Blu-ray of this movie. So you're going to be able to buy a Blu-ray. We're trying to do a bundle where you can even buy the Blu-ray player as a bundle on our website.
Andy Hines, are you lying to me?
Stephanie Beaumont, I would not lie to you. We're also printing a VHS.
This is so exciting.
For the really hardcore ones who want to live the dream of the 1980s.
Yay.
Or just put it on your shelf as a little knickknack. We love our knickknacks.
Oh my gosh. I'm super stoked. But now I'm wondering if you're going to answer these questions, because I would imagine they're going to be little tidbits you'll drop in the DVD.
I could answer all these questions for you, and there's still going to be not enough room on the DVD commentary.
Okay. I just want to ask you about the shot when Tommy's going into the church, the overhead shot.
Yeah.
And I love that. I mean, there's a million shots that I love, like the POV in the back of the hearse.
A lot of people bring that shot up.
Is that true?
Yeah.
But even like there's so many angles. And again, and here's the other side of it. I'm a big dream person. And even when I think back to you, like I was looking at I did a deep dive into your videos before our chat today, but there's an ethereal sort of dream, you know, even Keith Urban. And I think of, you know, there's a lot of dream elements. And in this movie too, there's a lot of dream elements where you're thinking you're somewhere, but you're actually not.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that about you, Andy Hines.
Well, thank you, Stephanie Beaumont.
I noticed that. Are you a dreamer? Like, do you wake up in the middle of the night and go, oh my God?
I've been dreaming my whole life. And I think we all work things out in our dreams. I think we probably all hop on our phone in the morning a little too early before we've also given ourselves the time to gestate over what we dreamed about and why we dreamed that thing. I think we could all take a little hour or hour and a half longer before we get online in the day and think about what we dreamed about. But yeah, I'm in love with dreams and magical realism and also just how that plays into the beauty of visual storytelling and making, you know, I'm ADD, ADHD, Gemini, like I want to always be evolving my stories. So I'm never going to show you the same thing twice. I always want to be giving you new things. And if you look in my music videos, you'll find that I'm also doing that in my music videos. I don't show you the only three scenes that I cut or that I shot. I don't show you those three things in the beginning of the video and then intercut those things throughout the whole video. I'm never going to, you know, I want you to always be seeing something new as it evolves, right? So, yeah.
Cool. That's so good. Okay. Listen, we've got time for our insights in 10. These are our final 10 questions. Andy Hines, they are meant to be rapid fire, but there's no pressure. Should you wish to expound upon any answer, please do. If you are ready, we will begin.
Ready.
Andy Hines, sweet or salty?
Salty.
Tea or coffee?
Tea.
Stop it. Because here's the other thing. I absolutely adored the thread of coffee because I'm coffee crazy. That's not a shocker probably after this interview, but I loved that element of the story. I won't give too much away to anyone who hasn't seen it, but sweet. So at the end of the day, you're a tea drinker. This is shocking news.
No, I love coffee as well. But like if someone was to say like tea or coffee, like I'm usually a morning tea drinker.
That's the East Coast in you, my friend. Okay. Andy Hines, morning or night?
Night.
Andy Hines, James Taylor, or Taylor Swift?
James Taylor.
Okay. Andy Hines, planes, trains, or automobiles?
Automobiles.
Ooh, without hesitation, you said that.
Yeah.
Do you have to be the driver?
I love to be the driver.
Okay. Are you a good passenger?
Decent.
Okay. Andy Hines, your favorite, this could be hard as a writer, your favorite word?
Impossible to answer.
No, you have to land on one, sir, even if it's just for today.
My gosh. Favorite word? Why would you ask that question? That's insane.
Well, it's on the list.
Golly. I don't know. It's truly impossible to answer what my favorite word is because they're all my favorite words. Like, I mean, please. And it's not like vibe or cool or love. Like,
we've had cement and oxymoron. Like, there are no wrong answers here, Andy.
Yeah. I'd probably say imagine.
No I, right?
No I.
It's, no I. Okay, very good. Okay, Andy Hines, your favorite sound?
Birds, morning chorus or evening chorus.
It's not about me and we're running out of time, but I used to work mornings in TV and birds singing in the dark is like one of my least favorite sounds in the world because when my alarm
would
go off.
One of my favorite things.
Come on, in the dark?
Yeah. Like before the sun's risen?
Oh, God. Okay. Andy, it's not about me. Andy Hines, your favorite song ever?
Impossible.
Come on.
No, it's literally impossible. I think that I'll say that the closest thing to a favorite song is Goldie's cover of Straight to Hell.
It's really good. She's amazing, hey? She's amazing.
Oh, we haven't even scratched the surface with her.
Oh, my God. We'll have to have you back. Okay, now we're down to it. Andy Hines. Okay, and this one you're going to get mad at me, too, but I'm asking it anyway. Your favorite movie ever?
Oh, what are you doing?
Well.
What are you doing to me?
It's on the list.
I would say that my favorite movie is The Thin Red Line by Terrence Malick.
Whoa. Good one. Okay, Andy Hines, this is our last question. It's a two-parter now. And I know after having watched you and lived vicariously through your Instagram feed and your interviews and whatnot, this will happen. When they make the movie, the Andy Hines biopic, who will star as Andy Hines? Who will star as Mr. Andrew Hines?
Tom Hardy.
Oh, wow. He said that without hesitation, everybody.
Yeah.
Have you been told that a lot?
No.
Okay.
No, but I'd love for Tom Hardy to play me.
There you go. And who would star as your romantic lead, your wonderful wife who's away?
Oh my God. I don't know. She has to answer that.
Is that true?
Yeah, that would be her choice.
Oh my gosh. Well, I wouldn't want to. I'll let her. Will she email me now? We're going to air, so I'm letting it ride. And only because I've gone way over the allotted time, I want to say thank you, Andy Hines, for making the time for me. I want to congratulate you on all of, this past year. And I can't wait to celebrate the next one and all the things to come. And I can't wait for the Blu-ray.
Make sure you come to the premiere of my next film on the big screen where we premiere it.
I will. Hey, have you got that in the works?
I just finished the script, first draft of it last week.
Is that true? We can't talk about that now. Can you give me a name?
No.
Okay. My gosh, something to look forward to. Andy Hines, I thank you, sir.
But it's another Eastern set in a very prominent part of Nova Scotia that has a lot of lore around it that I think people are going to love it. They're going to be very uncomfortable and kind of...
It's not a rom-com?
No, not this one.
Okay.
Maybe the next. Thanks, Stephanie.
I look forward to it. Thank you, sir.
We'll see ya.
Oh my gosh, what a treat it was to chat with that talented man. And true to his word, Andy checked in with his wife, Olivia Hines, who, for the record, was the costume designer on Little Lorraine. And when he asked who she'd like to have play her in the Andy Hines biopic, her response was Margot Robbie. Ooh, I can't wait for that one. Be sure to follow Andy on Instagram like we do, at andyhines.tv. And for the full scoop on his movie,
follow Little Lorraine Film. In fact, you can click the link in the bio there to find a screening near you. Then again, maybe you're tuning in from here along the South Shore, and you're one of the lucky folks who scored a ticket to one of 3 sold-out screenings at the Chester Playhouse this coming weekend. You're in for quite a ride, I'll tell ya. You can find the podcast version of this show, along with all of our other CNBC Seen and Heard episodes, available to stream and download now on iTunes via Apple Podcasts. And for all the show notes and links to this broadcast, you can head to my Omni site at stephaniebeaumont.com. There you'll discover our entire catalog of episodes for this show, plus all of our soundtrack episodes too. Hey, and speaking of soundtracks, I'm going to send you off with a group of gentlemen who not only appeared in Little Lorraine, but sang their hearts out to a packed Cape Breton church in a truly moving scene. They are the legendary Men of the Deeps with their signature song, Working Man. Thanks to Jason McDonald for our CNBC Seen and Heard theme music. Thanks to Andy Hines for being my guest. And thanks to you for joining us today. Sure hope you will again next time here on Cove FM. I'm your host, Stephanie Beaumont. Be well till then.
It's a working man I am, and I've been down underground. And I swear to God, if I ever see the sun, or for any length of time, I can hold it in my mind. I never again will go down underground. At the age of 16 years, he quarrels with his fear to vow they'll never see another mine. In the dark recess of the mind, where you age before your time, and the cold dust lies heavy on your lungs. It's a working man I am, and I've been down underground. And I swear to God, if I ever see the sun, or for any length of time, I can in my mind, I never again will go down underground. At the age of 64, he'll greet you at the door, and he'll gently lead you by the arm through the dark recess of the mines. He'll take you back in time, and he'll tell you of the hardships that were his. It's a working man I am, and I've been down underground. And I swear to God, if I ever or for any length of time, I can hold it in my mind. I never again will go down underground. It's a working man I am, and I've been down underground. And I swear to God, if I ever see the sun, or for any length of time, I can hold it in my mind. ever